ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Look, Sonny's wearing his mask. And right there, that's Sonny. I'm sorry, I just gave your identity away.
He's got on mute.
You're on mute still. On mute.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought we were hiding our identities.
I'm on it. I got it done. I got my AEW mask.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you guys for joining us today. This is a very special show for us. I have history with Tom, and because Tom, Tom plays guitar, and I want to make sure everybody knows, because the only time I've ever met Tom, he was in full makeup, and that was here in Atlanta when Vinnie Vincent had his coming out, And so I want to make sure everybody knows what Tom does in the band. So that's Tom Higgins. He does lead guitar, bass guitar, the Ace and Gene vocals, Gene-like vocals.
Right.
All right. That's Charlie down there. He plays drums for the band now. And he's also in, I'm not going to lie, I don't want to fanboy out too bad, but he plays in one of my favorite all-time bands, Anthrax. And I'm so happy that you guys are here. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Now, Joe isn't here. Joe McGinnis, who you guys have we've had on the show before with Quarantine, and he does the Paul vocals, acoustic guitar, and I mean, you guys are all pretty badass musicians. When you listen to this record, it's almost like you could do anything you want. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not an easy job, Joe.
Okay, so Tom, we know the story, and I just want to make sure that I'm correct, okay? So basically, Classic 78 put a record out from what I can remember, is basically what would have come out had the solo records not come out.
Yeah, initially that was the approach, exactly. Yeah.
And whose idea was this?
It was something that I thought of doing, and then I approached my buddy Rory about it. Who's a great drummer, and he's been my friend for almost 40 years. And then Joe, we found Joe online singing some Paul stuff, and he wanted to participate as well. And that's how it happened, you know. That was in 2016. The album came out in 2017.
And who played drums on the first one?
That was my buddy Rory. And he played on the first one and the second one. And then in between... the last one we did was October of 2017, and after that, it kind of run its course for him in terms of, you know, we've been in bands forever, and I've kind of, like, for 10 years, and I was always, like, the manager and the coordinator and the stuff like that.
Right.
And this last record that we did in 2017, he didn't really feel connected to the recording sessions, and he wasn't enjoying it. And when you're not enjoying something, right, that's a good, that's giving you a sign. So, so I knew if I did one again, that we would need to have, some guest drummers, whether they were local guys that I knew were Kiss fans, or some of the guys who reached out to us about the first and second album, who were just fans of what we were doing. They liked the songs and the albums. And, Charlie was one of those. And, Joe McGinnis, and I would keep in touch with Charlie from the first record, onward. And then when Joe told him that if we moved forward and did another one, that we'd need a drummer, and Charlie said, I want to be the guy, and that's how that started. You know, that was in 2019.
So Charlie, no thought was put into it. You knew you wanted to do it.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it so much listening to it, and I was like, man, I wanna tap into this. I wanna, you know, see what I could bring to this. And then we were on tour, and I think we played by Joe, and Joe came down to the show, and we had a conversation. I said, no, I want to do it. So, and then he talked to Tom, and that was it. The rest is history.
That's awesome. Yeah, one of the most amazing things is, and I think that we could all agree, is that how you guys have tapped into the feel, not just the sound, but the feel of you know, classic Kiss sound. Tom, when you were you know, coming up with the guitar tone, was it basically Les Paul through a Marshall, or is there a little more work there?
Well, that's the basics of it. I'm not using a Marshall all the time. I used a Marshall cab a few times on this new one, and but basically it's about keeping the guitar tones simple with not a lot of stuff in between it, you know. Some of that crunch from Dressed to Kill or Rock and Roll Over, with some, you know, some definition and you know, with the crack of the, you know, it's, you know, a real impact when you're hitting a power chord and with the clarity of, like, the guitars on Rock and Roll Over are so upfront, and it's just so satisfying when you hear a song like Mr. Speed or something like that. So those were kind of the goalposts to try to go for in approximating a guitar tone, you know. And it's right. Just I'm using Les Pauls, I'm using a Gibson Firebird, I used a Les Paul Jr. on a couple of things. I have this Epiphone Ripper bass that I used on half the bass tracks. I got a P bass that I used on the other half, and you know, that's pretty much been the formula for all the guitar work on all three records. And Charlie kind of took, you know, his years of being such a fan of Peter Chris and absorbing that stuff for the better part of his, you know, his life. He was able to, you know, really dig deep into some drum stuff that I would never even know where to begin with, you know.
Charlie, when was Peter the reason you started playing drums, or somebody else?
No, he wasn't the reason. There was really no reason I played the drums. I just came out that way. But as I was growing up, and you know, you hear this, you hear that, and it's like, oh, I like that. And Peter was one of those guys that immediately stuck out to me. I mean, the solo that's on Alive to this day means so much to me. And I don't think he gets the credit that he really deserves. I mean, he was one of those iconic 70s drummers, and the sound that he came out with, the swing that he has with Kiss. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of reasons to love Peter Chris, not just because he's the cat, but because he's got a great voice, and he's just, he was awesome.
He was awesome. So if you guys don't know, what we're talking about is the new Classic 78 album. It's called Phantoms, and I love the album cover. It's just great. Who did the album cover for you guys?
That was a guy named Claudio Bergman, who's a great artist. He's out in San Francisco area. He's a big Kiss fan, and he posts his art on Facebook and whatnot, and I've seen him do some podcasts. He has a podcast where he was speaking with Dennis Wallach, the designer, you know, the album designer for all the Kiss records in the 70s, and they would pick apart all the technical aspects of each album, you know, how they achieved the designs and cover art on those records. And so I knew he was a Kiss freak, and then I saw more of his work, and I said, I gotta call this guy. I had found out that he had just done the Judas Priest record, Firepower, you know, the most recent one, and I was like, I don't know if this guy's even gonna take my call, because you know, I didn't know much about him other than that he was great and that he just did Judas Priest. And I reached out to him, and I gave him a loose concept. We bounced it around a little bit, but he took everything to the extreme, you know, being such a Kiss fan, and we're really happy with it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find out if I missed anything in the album art, because you see the roller coaster in the back. You see the blood splatter on Gene's bass. Looks like a Punisher, but I'm not positive. The purple rose for the Iceman, for Paul. Part of Peter's costume over the bass drum. You got the dragon totem stage prop, and you got the smoking Les Paul. I don't think I missed anything on that thing, but I couldn't tell because there's so much going on.
There's little people in the car on the roller coaster. Oh, yeah. You can see them waving to you. Yeah, that was a lot of, like, Claudio's idea was to do the smoking guitar. I didn't want to do certain things that I thought maybe be too close to the bone, since the music and the songs and the sound is so close to what Kiss does. I didn't want to get too close, but he wanted to do the serpent. He wanted to do the smoking guitar, and we talked about it, and You know, so, you know, it was a good collaboration, but again, he knows what he's doing, and conceptually and artistically, it's just, I was so happy with it because the first two records, we didn't do much in terms of the artwork, the songs and the music was the calling card, you know? So I wanted to have this one, have something special artwork wise, and we definitely achieved that, you know?
You know, for me, one of the most, to write a song that reminds you of that certain Kiss era, that's one thing. But when your vocals are so close, I mean, the Ace vocal makes me giggle every time I hear it because I'm like, are you sure he didn't come in there and pop a line, you know? Or
yeah, a lot of people talk about the Ace vocal because it's such an odd vocal style. Yeah. You know, it's so unique. But that's something that, you know, fortunately, I was able to approximate early on. And then once you get in the studio, then you realize, oh, if I just go this way a little bit, or if I drag that syllable out a little bit, it's more magnified and you can really nuance things. And so, the music and the vocal and the lyrics and the type of riff it is and the type of groove it is and the type of hi-hat pattern and stuff, all that stuff contributes to whatever vibes you guys are catching when you listen to it. We catch them before you guys ever hear the stuff. Like Charlie will hear stuff and say, oh, that's the thing, you know, or I'll hear stuff and I'll just go, wow, I'm getting goosebumps listening to this. And, you know, this is while we're doing it, you know? So we just hope that when we release the stuff that you guys feel the same way. And it's because of all those components, you know, it's because all those components are together.
We had such a good time going back and forth because like some of the songs are modeled after a specific, not really a specific song. It could be like a section of a song or whatever. And you don't want to play the exact lick, but you want to play something that kind of reminds you of that lick that they did, you know? So it's almost like doing a puzzle. It's like, well, what is this modeled after? Or what is it? Where does that lick come from? You know? So when we were talking about what songs and how and what we were going to put into this one, it was like, well, let's do a little of that. And let's do a little bit of this, you know, let's have a little Dress to Kill meets Love Gun, that type of thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, Charlie, how are you backing yourself off though? Cause like one of my most favorite covers of a Kiss song is when Anthrax did Parasite, but you are going off on Parasite, right? So when I heard you were in this band, I'm like, oh my God, what did he do? Like trim his drum down to one cymbal, one snare, one tom, like, how are you backing yourself off?
Well, because when Tom and I originally spoke about it, like I couldn't do me doing Peter. I had to do Peter, you know, doing me kind of in a way, you know what I mean? So there's some songs like, you know, what you're going to do, there's this tom roll that goes around and I don't end it on the one. I go a little bit further. And so that is a little bit maybe something that maybe Peter wouldn't do that, but the big tom roll is something Peter would do. So
he does do that, Charlie. He does it in watching you. He goes right into the next measure, still doing a roll, and then he picks up the beat.
I'm thinking of Watching You Now.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah. The live version?
Both. He does it in both.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I
it's very subtle. Very subtle. It's very subtle, but it's there. You'll catch it. Yeah.
I'm not even gonna lie. That is close to the top of the nerdiest things Kiss wise we have ever. Tom, you just got the.
My Kiss nerd textbook on page 36, that's what takes place.
Okay.
Well, that's. I was gonna ask Charlie that too because. The other guys in Anthrax can't be as big a Kiss fan, so do they just tell you, dude, shut the hell up about Kiss? Like, we don't want to talk about that right now.
No, they don't do that. I mean, they kind of chime in here and there, but, like, I sent them the record, and Scott especially loved it so much. Like, a lot of my friends, like, when they hear it, they're like, this is so good. It's, like, so... It just brings out the fun in that Kiss fan, you know? It's something that... You're probably not going to get from Kiss anymore. You know what I mean? So this is the next best thing.
So some of the people that are watching are chiming in. They were asking, let's see, Tom, this will probably be more for you, about Spotify. Is this something that's going to get out on Spotify?
No, I'm not going to do any streaming on this record. I just feel that it's such a niche thing that the people who've been waiting, who know about us before, have been waiting for it. And there's so many people who haven't heard about us or maybe discovered us, you know, over the last 4 years, and people who just heard about us the other day when we released the record. You know, I think the people who would get into this are people who would go out and find it or keep tabs on this type of thing. And we're going to have a physical CD coming out sometime in February. And because we want people to have the tangible experience and hold that artwork and pull out the CD and, you know, read the credits and stuff like that. It's nothing crazy, but it's something people have been asking for. They like the physical, you know, the physical copy. So I just wanted to stick with the digital download of the album and physical copy being the CD. And, you know, we definitely want to go vinyl. It's just we have to let the industry kind of get its footing because the wait times on this stuff is ridiculous. You know?
Yes.
So interesting that right now rock music, there's, you know, the consistency is usually throw out a single, wait a couple of, you know, a month or so, throw out another single, right, and kind of create this buzz. You guys go dormant for 2 years, don't say a thing. And then one day I'm on Facebook and go, they got a new record? How the hell do I not know? Like, if any nerd knows, I would know. And then all of a sudden, like, somebody in my text group said, dude, what the hell is going on Facebook? All the Kiss groups are talking about this classic 78 thing. I don't even know who the hell they are.
Yeah. I would like to tell you that we have this marketing firm that's handling the record, but it's not. It's just that, you know, because of what it is, you know, it's, you know, it's something that, you know, we have to maximize our opportunities, you know, regarding that stuff. And part of the thing about Kiss and the excitement was the mystique, or reading in Circus magazine or Hit Parader that there's a record coming out, you know, and then just staring at that page in that magazine for 2 months until that record came out, and imagining what it's going to be and not having an idea what it's going to sound like or what it's going to look like. Or you'd go into a record shop to get one record, and while you're there, you realize, oh, there's a new Kiss record out or a new whatever record out, you know, and you get that element, that charge of discovering it and being able to get it. That's what I wanted people to, when we do these announcements, I want them to just not be excited about it if they're excited about it, but I want them to be able to get it right now. I don't want you to wait for 6 months or 3 months. You know, to capture that moment and that excitement and wrap it into the experience of listening to it, finding out about it, can't wait to get the download, can't wait to get the CD, and then listening to it. It's combining all of the aspects that we used to have, you know, and just trying to maximize that because of the nature of what it is. And, you know, we aren't on a major label doing a thing, or we're not, you know, jumping on some major summer tour every year like an active band does. You know, the business model is different these days, but we don't actually fit into some of those aspects, you know.
Tom, you know, I've had people on, and I always want to ask certain questions, and we're really pushing this classic 78 record, but I think that I always wanted to ask, and I'm going to ask you both, do you have a favorite Kiss record?
I do.
Go ahead, Charlie. Yeah, go ahead, Charlie.
Besides Live being the, you know, the greatest live record ever, my favorite Kiss record is Rock and Roll Over. I think it just, every song on that record is just absolutely explosive and amazing. So it's always been Rock and Roll Over.
And are you a Peter guy? Or are you an Ace guy?
I love them all. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's pretty cool. Sonny.
About what? My favorite album? What are you just asking?
No. I'm asking you to ask a question.
Oh.
I know you have them right in front of you.
All right, so you guys obviously didn't get together, so is this all file sharing back and forth? Charlie, do you have a studio at home? Like, what's going on with
that? Yeah, and then we have like a carrier pigeon, and I just tie stuff to him, and then he takes it to Tom, and then Tom gets it back. We have an engineer here that always does a lot of the Anthrax stuff, so him and I work together, and that was the thing that I when I originally wanted to do this, I said, it's got to be right. So the drum tones, the way it was mic'd, everything that went in it had to be right. It had, the snare drum had to be right, the tone of the snare drum. And so, yeah, just the attention to detail with the record was very important, you know?
Yeah, and there wasn't a lot of talk about that. He had free rein to do that because, you know, he didn't want to put Charlie Benante's personality into the songs. He wanted to put that classic Kiss personality into it and tap into the things that he identified with that and emphasized those. And a lot of them are the same things, like that snare tone and whatnot. But there wasn't a lot of talk about it. He just knew what this thing is, and he was able to scratch that itch, you know, at the same time, you know.
Yeah. One of the things that I constantly hear every time you put a record out is, when are they going to play live?
Well, you know, it's to say that we're going to go out on the road is not realistic, unfortunately. But there are scenarios where we could. I would love to be honest with you. This whole time, I would have loved to have been able to do something. But it's got to be sustainable. And it's got to make sense. So, you know, whether it's a festival that makes sense, or whether it's a Kiss Expo that makes sense to do it, or whatever the scenario might be, definitely open to it if it makes sense for everybody. But unfortunately, going around and doing it 2 weeks, you know, going from, you know, from Maine to Baltimore to Philly to, right, you know, West Virginia. Right. It's just not real. It's not feasible or realistic because obviously Charlie's got a, you know, he's doing this for real, you know, and he's been doing this for real since he was a kid. But just in general, you know, we do have full-time jobs and we have responsibilities and stuff like that. And not, especially now with the COVID thing, who knows what rug will get pulled out at any given time, but we don't have to need to get into that. But you know, if the situation arises, I would definitely be happy to hear from Charlie or Joe, or if I heard it, I would reach out to them and see if it feels right. But I think you might find that there'll be one or two scenarios where you'd be able to see us live. I just don't want to you know, promise anything, you know.
Right.
The stage show is so big, so it's hard to get it around from show to show.
Listen,
logistics. It's enormous, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Mentioning the Cruise Fest Memorial. I mean, the Creature Fest, not Cruise Fest. That was something else entirely. But Creature Fest, and Joe will be there. And then the only other thing that I keep hearing, of course, is how great would these guys be on the Kiss Cruise?
We hear that every year, or every time. Even since, in between records, we still hear that. But there's been no phone call, you know, made. I have not received that email from the folks at Doc's office or Sixth Man or whoever, you know. But, you know, those are the type of scenarios. That's it. I don't know how Charlie's going to feel sharing a cabin with me and Joe and whoever we're going to play bass. God knows
what
we're going to do these days. Yeah.
Money does talk. You know, I want to publicly, you know, I haven't really had the opportunity, Tom, to say thank you. For those of you guys out there that don't know, I shot a documentary series called Makeup of an Army. It's on YouTube, where I went around and met Kiss fans and had them talk about being a Kiss fan. And I approached Tom and I said, hey, how can I, you know, pay for the rights to use the music? And Tom was like, Joe, you've been so great to me and the guys, just use the music. And I thank you very much for that. I really do appreciate that. It definitely added to the document. It made it 100% better, you know, just because I had music that not only was original and had a Kiss feel, but it was made by friends, and that makes it even better.
Absolutely. And you know, because you would, you know, you had us on the show and, you know, been very kind with your time and stuff like that. Of course, I'm glad you called about it and it worked out great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. All right. So this record just comes out this week. It's been selling pretty well, I think. You had messaged me and you were like, hey, let me send you a file. I was like, no way. I'm buying this thing. I'm going to buy it. Now, I have the other two on CD, so I'll get that way. And vinyl is my life. So yeah. If I can get it on vinyl, I'll at least get one. And then Sonny will pick on me because I'll buy two and not open one.
Yeah, yeah.
If you put it in 15 different colors, he'll buy 15. So just...
That's the thing. There's going to be four colors.
Yeah.
You can guess what colors they'll be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. If you do the Charlie Benanti blood splatter on one of them, oh, that's...
I will. I'm nuts. This week, I was at the record store, and I went in, and I looked at the guy behind the counter, and I go, hey, you have Kiss Unmasked, a promo copy here. And he goes, yeah. And I was like, well, I don't have that. I have 20 copies of Kiss Unmasked. The songs aren't different.
Charlie, it still has Shandy, so it's no good.
You know what my problem with that song is? Like, being on tour with the rest of the band, and like that song was always played in the dressing room as a joke here and there because it doesn't really fit that record, Unmasked. It's like, I love the other Paul songs, but Shandy is kind of a strange one. So, of course, everybody plays that one. So, anyway.
That's pretty funny. All right, so now that this record's out, I mean, Tom, do you see you guys doing more of these? Like, you're like, I don't know why we would stop. It's so much fun.
Well, I think there's plenty of material. I've shared some of it with Charlie and Joe, and I'd say there's probably 15 songs, and maybe they've heard maybe five or six of them. As long as we're having a good time and it makes sense, and you know we can do it. I mean, we could do another studio record. We could do a live record with some studio tracks on the side for it. Right? You know, it's all about whether we're having a good time with it and whether the desire to do it at the right time is, you know. So there's definitely material, and there's definitely the possibilities for all of that, you know. I think it would be cool to at least wrap it up with a live album, and that's something that Joe had talked about since the first record, Joe McGinnis. And I like the idea of creating that scenario and doing a mini Alive album or an Alive 2 album with the side four with the studio tracks on it. But, you know, I'll get the rest of the songs to the guys when the time's right, and we'll see if we can get a game plan, if it makes sense. But that's another reason why I wanted to do the artwork and do eight songs on this record, because you never know if there's going to be another one. So I wanted it to be complete and the full package, you know, for all of us. Yeah.
We have a question here. Who writes the songs?
Well, I write the songs, but like, for instance, Joe wrote the intro to Show Me Your Love, the acoustic part. He put that together based off the chorus melody. Charlie, Joe, and I, we all throw ideas around about arrangements. Smoke and Mirrors, Charlie had an idea of starting the song with what I had as a pre-chorus. He said, hey, what if we start the song with that musical pre-chorus part? You know, just as an example, that's that type of stuff. Or both him and Joe both suggested we do like a Lover All I Can type of vocal approach on the song called Queen of Hearts. And, you know, basically everybody can kind of, you know, throw the ball around and kind of mold these things, because not only just musically, but conceptually and whatnot, you know, it's got to make sense in order to feel good about doing it. You know, you don't want to be trying to cobble something together that doesn't really jive with you or make sense, you know. And you know, we don't release anything unless we're happy with it. So that's how that works on this writing and the arranging, you know, and everybody puts their stamp all over it.
Yeah. Charlie, Joe, you and Joe worked on a couple of things together, obviously, because of the whole Mr. Speed thing on your Silver Linings album that was released a little while ago. Did you release that album just because you were bored or just had time or what?
No, I was never going to release a record of all the quarantine jams that I was doing that I did. And then I kept getting asked about it. Hey, could you release this all? Like, and then I did it, you know, and that I was like, okay, I'll put it out. But Tom actually appears on All the Way, that one too. So there's Mr. Speed and All the Way. And believe me, if I would have kept going, there would have been way more of the songs, you know, that we did, you know.
So yeah, those are really good. Yeah, after Mr. Speed, it was hard to stop because that was really good. And then you had to throw in something else because you just can't stop after that. I sang backups on. They got me to sing backups on Mr. Speed. PJ Farley played all the bass on that, and he played all the bass on All the Way, and I did the lead vocal on that, and that was a lot of fun. And you know, I was squeezing those sessions into lunch breaks and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool to hear the final result with everybody's stuff all over. It was very good.
The funny thing about those is, like, people would comment like, oh, they're just kind of miming to the original song. And it's like, no, we are recreating the whole song. You know, people thought it was the actual song, which was, hey, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, Sonny, I've said this to you right like 100 times before, but you know, we've been doing this podcast for 8 years, and I'm sitting here and I'm looking over at Charlie and I'm thinking, man, I remember being a senior in high school and loving that Indian song, and me and my buddy Eric Fredericks, me and my buddy Eric, we loved Anthrax. And at the time, I was nodding anybody and everybody. My mom would be like, I'd go, Mom, you want me to blah, blah, blah. And she'd go, yeah. And I'd be like, not. It was just, and I'm sitting here and I'm going, this is one of the coolest experiences that we've had on the show. And I'm looking at you, Sonny, because I don't want to make Charlie uncomfortable, but
too late.
It's really cool. It's really cool. You guys, seriously, you put out a lot of great music of my, you know, in my life, and I really appreciate that. But that's not why we're here, but I did want to say thank you.
So Joe,
all right, so Joe couldn't be, both Joes couldn't be with us. Joey Quesada, who's normally on the show with us, he's on the road. I think he's with Eric Martin this weekend. And then Joe's busy. Man, what's going on with that guy?
Joe McGinnis is a freak. Yeah.
He was so excited to get a Billboard thing. Did you see that? The Billboard Award?
Yeah, man. Listen, he went from just being some dude from upstate New York who could play like a crazy monster, you know, a monster guitar player. And then, you know, we got to do this and he got some exposure, and then we couldn't say who we were, right?
Right.
Then he starts the quarantine thing, and then Jericho wants to go over the top with that, so he wants to do a whole press release and a video. So in order to do that, Joe's got to reveal who he is. So Jericho asked him, give me all your credentials, you know, your music credentials, because I want it for every PJ and Kenton, you know, the other guys that he's got. So Joe gave him everything he's done except Classic 78. And Jericho's like, what are you doing, man? You can put Classic 78 on there. That's the hook. And he goes, well, I got to check with Tom because we're not showing. I'm like, go ahead. It's been 3 years. Go ahead. You know, and ever since then, now he's buddies with Bruce Kulick, and you know, he's a great dude, and he's a great player. Unfortunately, he doesn't get to play in this band. He does play half of the lead solo on "Show Me Your Love" on this record. He plays the first half, but you know, he gets to do all that great Paul stuff on this record, and he doesn't do that in quarantine. But in quarantine, he gets to play all that lead guitar stuff, you know, and so he gets the best of both worlds from both projects, you know.
And he is a beast on that machine.
He's insane.
Insane, man.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he has his own guitar. He has a signature guitar out too.
Yeah, oh, he does? I think that's recent, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, he ESP. He endorses ESP.
Yep.
I play pretty well, but nobody's throwing any kind of guitar crap at me. Wouldn't that be nice?
There's people throwing crap, just not guitar crap.
Isn't that the truth? To be fair, I have moved my way from being a live musician to owning a music store, and now I just teach. You know, but that's, and there's a lot to give there. I'm just saying.
You get, sure.
You get, You know, when you get a kid walking in and go that sees you wearing a Kiss shirt, and like I have a 10-year-old, a couple of 10-year-old little girls that take lessons, and they come in with their own Kiss shirts on, and I'm like, I am totally inspiring the world.
That's cool, Joe.
And their moms are like, oh, yes. Joe, are there Kiss Crocs? Yes, there are. And the girls come in wearing Kiss Crocs. I'm just saying. Okay, so Sonny, we wanted to do a couple of Sweet 16s with you guys. Now, the Sweet 16s are basically there's a topic and then 16 parts to the topic. Two pieces go against each other and we vote on them. I did get a message from Quesada and he might be popping in, so be prepared. I don't have to let him in.
Good.
but Sonny, what are the Sweet 16s?
All right, so we're going to start out with a good one. These are just all Kiss songs that you don't hear a ton about. And specifically from like 74 to 82. So basically, I'm just going to tell you two songs and you vote on your favorite. It's that easy.
Okay. Got it.
So the first battle, and I just kind of randomized them against each other. So the first battle is Let Me Know versus Two Timer Charlie.
Wow. Okay.
Stumped them already.
See, this is what we're talking about.
Well, because there's a live version of Let Me Know that is awesome, and I wish it was on alive. So I'm going to go Let Me Know.
All right. Tom, how about you?
Let Me Know.
All right.
Yeah, it would have been a three-peat. I would have added that.
Okay, Let Me Know wins that one. Next battle, Hard Times versus I Want You. Tom.
I Want You.
Joe.
No question. I Want You.
Charlie, what would you have voted?
I Want You.
Okay. Next battle. Partners in Crime versus Mainline. Joe.
Damn. Partners in Crime.
Oh, Charlie?
Mainline.
Of course it's going to go with the Peter song. Tom?
Mainline too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to tell you guys how wrong you are, but
I didn't want to tell you that I don't know what that other song is. So,
Partners really? In Crime.
I have 40 copies of it over there.
It's on Killers.
Oh, that's right.
It's okay.
What else is on that? Is that I'm a Legend Tonight? Is that
yes,
that?
Sir?
Yeah,
yes,
Nowhere sir. To Run's on there.
Nowhere to Run. Yeah.
Yeah, Down on Your Knees. Yeah. All right, next battle, Killer versus Tomorrow and Tonight, Charlie.
Oh, God.
he makes it look like he's choosing between kids or something.
Yeah, look, they're just soft. Look, people, they're trying to inspire you in these.
I see that. I'm going to go with Tomorrow and Tonight.
All right. Tom.
I'll go with Killer on that one. I love Tomorrow and Tonight, though, but I'm going with Killer.
Joe, you're the tiebreaker.
Tomorrow and Tonight is wonderful.
Okay. All right. Next battle is going to be Ladies Room versus Danger. Tom.
Ladies Room.
Joe.
Yeah, I'll go Ladies Room.
All right. Charlie, you would have went Ladies Room?
Ladies Room, because it has such a great Ace Frehley lead on it. It's just awesome.
Oh, yeah. Okay, next one. All American Man versus Sweet Pain. Joe.
Damn. All American Man.
All right. Charlie.
Yeah, All American Man.
Would you have voted All American Man, Tom?
I would have, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I love that song.
Okay. Next one is All the Way versus Torpedo Girl, Charlie.
Oh God, no contest. All the Way.
Tom, how about you?
Same thing all the way. Yeah.
God.
Man, Torpedo Girl not getting any love.
No.
I love Torpedo Girl. It's a baseline I know Gene did not write.
Yeah. All right. I think the next one's going to be tougher than people may think it is. Plaster Caster versus Lover All I Can. Tom.
Ooh, that's tough. I'm gonna go Plaster Caster on that.
Joe?
I'm gonna go Lover All I Can.
So Charlie's a tiebreaker.
We did a cover of Lover All I Can, so I have to go with that. And Gene and Paul actually sing on it too. They do the backups.
Oh wow.
Oh, that's cool.
That is so cool.
If you can find it.
So we're down to eight. The first battle is Let Me Know versus I Want You. Charlie.
I Want You.
Of course he's got to go I Want You. He loves that record. Tom.
Somebody just wrote something and it was pretty accurate.
Yes. So Anthony Stratus wrote, I get the impression Charlie's a pre-80s Kiss fan. Yeah.
I get the impression Anthony Stratus has a really good head and shoulders.
Tom, how about you? Let Me Know or I Want You.
I have a soft spot for Let Me Know. I'm going to go with that.
All right. Joe, you're the tiebreaker.
Well, you better get some Viagra for that thing because I'm going with I Want You. Right. No soft anything.
Okay. Next battle, Mainline versus Tomorrow and Tonight. Tom.
Mainline.
Joe? Forget that Charlie's on here. Don't just pick Mainline because Charlie's on here.
No, I love Mainline. I'm going to go with that one. That's a great vocal, too.
Yep, I'm going to go with Mainline, too. That's a good question. I sometimes forget how many Kiss covers we did.
Well, I wish I'd known that question was going to come up because I would have done some research. But I will tell you this. You know, the truth is that when the Parasite cover is so kick-ass, man. It's the main one on the record that I thought the record was pretty good. But, the Kiss My Ass or whatever it was called. But that song, man, that puts it over the top for me. I think everybody agrees.
So on Kiss My Ass, that was She.
That was She.
It was She? Yeah.
Parasites on Attack of the Killer Bees.
Oh, Attack of the Killer Bees. Right. Oh, yeah. The She cover is awesome, too. Unbelievable. Yeah,
they actually sing on that one, too. Actually, Gene sings on Parasite. I'll tell you a quick story. When we were recording Parasite at Electric Lady, Gene came down and he just came down to hang out and to play ping pong with us. And he's a fucking awesome ping pong player. He has a really good spin on the ball. And very intimidating too, because he's pretty tall and playing against us, you know? So anyway, that's quick Parasite ping pong story.
So in the Kiss My Ass VHS that came out, it shows you guys in the studio. Is that the same time when Gene is down there?
No.
Different time.
Because we did Parasite in 88. And we had been on tour with them in like the end of 87, 88, something like that. And, you know, that's when we really kind of became kind of friendly with them. And Gene would come to the shows and it was awesome. But She was a different time. That was like early 90s. I think it was like 92 and 93. We did that in LA with Gene and Paul producing, and then they sang backup too on that.
Killer.
Yeah. Charlie, before we go continue with the game, when they came back in makeup, like how were you feeling about that when they came back initially?
I was excited, very excited. And I was pretty pissed off that I couldn't go to the first show because we were away doing shows. And I'll never let the band live that down. I wanted to be in Detroit for that first show.
You could have called in sick that day, I guess.
I tried. I wanted to be the opening band on that first show. But I got to see them a couple of times on that run, and we had a night off in Boston, and we went to see them, and I just went all the way down to the front. I just watched it from the front, and Paul Jean saw me there all night, and then Paul, I love Paul, he broke his guitar, and he gave it to me, and he signed it afterwards. It was such a great moment, you know? I think I was crying. I don't know.
I would have. Let me tell you, I would have rather Anthrax open that whole tour. I got to see the Verve pipe.
What? Well, yeah, actually a couple of times, like maybe the second time or third time they came around, I think Skid Row were with them and Ted Nugent. But it was awesome. I loved every moment of it, you know, just seeing Peter up there and Ace, and it was just great.
Yeah. All right. So getting back to the game here, Ladies Room versus All American Man, Tom.
I'm going to go Ladies Room.
Ladies Room. Joe?
All American Man.
Oh, Charlie's a tiebreaker.
This is one of my favorite Paul Stanley songs because he still had that attitude and All American Man.
Yeah. Nice.
And Bob Kulick is awesome on that song too. Got to give Bob a shout out.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you, when they played that, the Kulick brothers on the cruise, the first time they did a cruise, you know, and they went into All American Man, it was one of the greatest things to be able to hear that song live.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Next battle, All the Way versus Lover All I Can, Tom.
I'm going to go. I just like All the Way. I love Lover All I Can, but I'm going to go All the Way.
All right. How about you, Charlie?
Me?
Yeah.
All the Way.
All the Way. All right. Okay, so the final four has some interesting songs here. First battle is I Want You versus Mainline, and we'll start with Charlie.
I Want You.
Tom?
I Want You.
Oh.
I feel like that's going to win.
You know, I'm going to have to clip Charlie saying to me, I want you. I just got to say that. I'm just kidding. Next battle, All American Man versus All the Way, Joe.
All American Man.
Charlie?
Wow, this is a tough one. But there's something about All American Man, side four, so I got to go that route.
All right, so Tom, you would have went which way?
I would have went All American Man.
All American Man. All right, so the final of this battle is I Want You versus All American Man.
Oh, wow.
And we are going to start with Charlie.
I Want You.
Tom?
I Want You.
He's going to win.
I would have picked I Want You Too.
Oh, there you go.
Good. It would have been a sweep.
What a great album opener. I mean, the way that album opens with that song is just perfect.
Yeah. You know, being a kid and not knowing what you're about to drop the needle on, you know, and then it starts off with the acoustic guitars and then pow, punches you right in the face, man. It's just, just saying.
Yeah.
Great song.
Well, listen, thank you guys for coming on. Let's talk about a couple of things before I let you guys go. First of all, Tom, you're an amazing talent. Keep up the good work. You write you write some great songs. You sing some great songs, and I think I speak for all Kiss fans. Thank you for doing this and giving us what Kiss should be giving us. And that's new material. I mean, there are comments on here, and I've seen them online, where they're like, Ace should cover this song, or Kiss should cover, you know, and that, I mean, truly, you know, to hear Ace do like Smoke and Mirrors would be like, what? And it would be great. Please keep up the good work, and anytime you want to come on for any kind of project, please let us know.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Charlie, I already made you feel uncomfortable. I'm sorry. But does Anthrax have anything new coming out?
We're working on a record. And it's kind of been halted again because of the whole COVID thing that happened, the Omicron. So, but we're going to pick it up end of the month again and just continue to work on it. Our graphic novel came out in the summer, and that's awesome. You should really get that because Corey Taylor's in it, Rob Zombie's in it, the Gerard and Mikey Way are in it. They all did stories for it, and it's a really good piece. Absolutely. And of course, please go get my Silver Linings record and go buy my coffee because it's the best coffee. Don't buy other bands' coffees because my coffee's the best and my coffee's the first, and that's it.
Charlie, where can they get your coffee?
You can go to my website, charliebenante.com, or here in Chicago, Dark Matter. That's the coffee company that put it out.
That's awesome. Sonny, do you realize that Charlie played ping pong with Gene? Joey played wiffle ball with Gene.
That's awesome.
In a million years, I would not have imagined Gene being a really good ping pong player.
Gene also plays matchmaker a lot, too.
Oh,
go figure.
Yeah. Charlie, another question for you. You know, Anthrax opened up for Kiss a couple of times. Like, when you guys first opened for them, are you and Scott like, hey, what do you guys got going on? What's going on? Or are they every like, day. Stay away from us?
Every day. No. Because we kind of knew John Hart. And we met Gene a couple times. But it was a good time and everything. But being on tour with them, and Gene would come into the dressing room every day and just hang and talk. And it would all of a sudden turn into a interview, you know, and he'd always make believe he had a microphone, you know. But he was awesome, and they were all awesome. Eric was awesome, and you know, became really good friends with Eric after that tour. So yeah, it was great vibe.
Absolutely. Sonny, you got anything to add?
No, thanks for listening, and Charlie and Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Sonny. Thank you, Joe.
No problem. And you guys know what I'm going to say out there. We love podcasts, and we love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1. Peace. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.